Hi everyone,
my name's Robin Gal and I'm the host of Queer Lehigh Valley, here to talk about all things LGBTQ+ in the Lehigh Valley, and I'm super excited to be joined here today with Mel Kitchen. Mel, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure, thank you for the invite, Robin. Mel Kitchen, she, her, hers. I'm the coordinator at the Pride Center at Lehigh University. I also facilitate a queer Catholic space in the Lehigh Valley. It's very tiny. And co-facilitate something called Breathe at Bradbury Sullivan Center. It's queer spirituality. I co-facilitate with Rabbi Steve Nathan and Mark Wansidler, who is our curator at our art gallery, and Chris Bogdan, who's a member of the community.
Amazing. Thanks for your little intro. Sure. You were who I thought about to talk to, since I wanted to focus a little bit today on queerness and spirituality and religion, especially because this time of year, there's a lot of major religions have significant holidays and celebrations. I feel like everybody calls it the holidays. and I think it's oftentimes an interesting experience as an LGBTQ+ person. People sometimes have complicated relationships to whatever spirituality they grew up in. So you already kind of started to touch on it, but can you tell us a little bit about what your connection to spirituality is in general, which is a huge question, but, you know, it'll give us a good entry point.
Sure. Well, I identify as Catholic, small c, born and raised. My breath that I take is a Catholic breath. It's my being. Went to 12 plus years of parochial school and have a great faith connection to my higher power, to God, to Jesus, however you want to name the being that is centered on my faith. That's different than religion. The religion I grew up in is Roman Catholic. And for queer folks, especially, I would say I identify as a woman. For being a queer woman, I really feel like there's no place for me there. And it has taken a long time to get to this place in my life. I've hung in there a very, very long time and tried to be just a tiny speck of a queer space and naming it Catholic. I think that's important to do because there's so many Catholic people out there. And what I say to them is, you'll always be Catholic. Don't let anyone take that away from you. You're baptized. Maybe there are things within that faith that you love that you still would like to practice, and let's talk about that. We know within the queer community it is very disjointed, if you want to say, where religion is concerned or where faith is concerned. People have been greatly harmed. They're excluded, so rightfully so. If they want to leave it, go. Do not stay with anything that's going to harm you. That's always been, you know, why stay? There's this thing called Catholic guilt, you know?
Don't I know it?
Because you were raised.
Raised Catholic. For sure. I think that you're already kind of touching on what my next question is, but what has your journey been like arriving where you are now? I know that you've talked to me a little bit about just grappling with your own positionality within like a really large religion like Roman Catholicism, what it's been like to have conversations with folks who might not embrace LGBTQ+ people but are part of the church, or, you know, conversations even around like theology, around like what it means to embrace LGBTQ+ people as a Catholic person.
It seems almost ridiculous to have that conversation when we're talking about something that should be centered in love. So if you love unconditionally, which is what we are taught, it was Jesus's mission when he was on this planet, is that, and we are told that, you know, God's love is, there are no barriers to it, right? So when we speak about queer folks mm-hmm. in a faith that they don't feel mm-hmm. they have a home. There's something so wrong with that.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
wrong with it. And yet there are communities within the Catholic faith that are very accepting. The mm-hmm. problem is it's not broadly, you know, like within yeah, the Jewish sure. faith, there's Reformed or there's, yeah. you know, there's different, what do I want to say, Orthodox Jews, and then there's like Reformed or whatever, and probably in Protestant. I know the Methodists went through stuff,
yeah,
right?
For sure. I feel
and
like they, any religion, there's
right,
going to be
right.
a huge, you know, people are constantly breaking off from one because of, you know, differences,
exactly.
and some of them are really significant, especially when it comes to like human rights issues. Like
sure,
this.
Sure. Yeah. So for queer folks, I want to affirm anyone who is practicing within any organized religion that feeds their soul.
Mm-hmm.
I love you for that, and mm-hmm. and that is a bit of a point of contention within the queer community because mm-hmm. people will think, why stay, or mm-hmm. you know, and you know, it's almost like why be out and not like you'd mm-hmm. never tell someone to come out of the closet. It's your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So the same with people's faith journey, it's mm-hmm. it's their own to decide if their soul is being fed and they're staying.
Mm-hmm.
Great. For me, it has been a long journey. It's been mm-hmm. I worked for Catholic schools.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, so sent my kids to Catholic schools. They graduated from Central Catholic High School.
Mm-hmm.
I must say part of my journey within my faith journey and my work at the Pride Center, it wasn't until this summer that I came out as bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all a life journey. This is mm-hmm. all part of, you know, a life. So the faith journey, why wouldn't we have a journey with our faith mm-hmm. when you're going to be constantly learning your whole life? To have an understanding of what you were taught when you're five, you certainly should not have that same understanding at 55.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So the journey of getting away from, say, a parish within the Lehigh Valley, I have found a really lovely, through the pandemic. So mm-hmm. it's actually 5 years.
Oh, wow.
5 years this fall that I've been attending via Zoom St. Mary Magdalene community, and they are Roman Catholic women priests based mm-hmm. out of Drexel Hill. There's a small chapel down there. No, they are not recognized mm-hmm. by Rome. And yet it's a thriving faith community. Mm-hmm. So for queer folks, it's always been about, we'll make it, you
yeah,
know, if we
sure.
can't find it. And that's not to say that St. Mary Magdalene has framed itself as a queer community. It is not. It mm-hmm. has framed itself as a fully participatory, everyone's welcome community.
Mm-hmm.
So, and women get it. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I get it.
Women get it. I hate to sound like a negative, mm-hmm. but in my heart, I feel the guys have just done such a horrid job. Mm-hmm. And I am certainly drawn to a women-centered mm-hmm. faith community. When I first joined, I don't know if I should say this, I was like, oh, wow, I think I'm like the youngest person here, which gave it cred. Because
mm-hmm.
when you see that many seniors,
yeah,
part
yeah.
of something that has completely splintered itself off from the traditional church, mm-hmm. it gives it great credibility. I'm
yeah.
like, man, these people have been, you know, and there's such wisdom
yeah,
within the
sure.
community. So
yeah, yeah, I can imagine for folks who've been building that for so much of
15
their lives.
15 yeah. years, yeah, that this faith community has been in mm-hmm. practice, yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool. I think it, as somebody who was raised Catholic, who has kind of departed from a lot of that, I think it gives me a lot of just like joy that like humans always find ways to like broaden, or like, I also think that like, I think that the ways in which where the present day church has arrived aren't all like completely traditional. And I love that it's called Mary Magdalene's, because, you know, there's
absolutely.
There's always been like women leaders in all spiritualities. And so it's also like a return to other parts of our traditions that aren't necessarily like maybe talked about as much. But mm-hmm. I really love that. And I think it's it's cool that it's on Zoom so they can kind of create communities across, exactly. I imagine, a really wide range of areas.
It's hybrid. So mm-hmm. on any, it's a 9 o'clock mass on Sunday mornings. And, you know, for my faith tradition, Eucharist is really mm-hmm. important and mass is important. There's folks in the chapel in Drexel Hill, and maybe it's a Lutheran church, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never been down there, so I'm not really familiar with the location. Maybe 20 people in the chapel, 25, and another 40 or more on Zoom from anywhere in the country or from England, Ireland,
so cool.
Africa, you mm-hmm. know. So it's really... It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's also really interesting because it brings into question for me, like, what, like, makes a religion? Because, like, if that space, like, performs parts of the rituals and parts of the things, it seems to me like that, like, the doing of it would constitute its validity. So it's sometimes kind of hard to, you know, how sometimes a large religion like Catholicism might have, like, an overarching authority. But then there's this, like, power that comes from, like, a group like that, or, like, a church like that, where, you know, you're doing the same things, just in a more inclusive, like, ethos.
Truly. Yeah. And when you think about the early church, mm-hmm. that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I think I see the Holy Spirit's hand in so mm-hmm. much. So going back to small faith communities is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. It eliminates so much of the baggage of the big stuff mm-hmm. and centers on the absolute, what's important, how can we help each other, how can we give aid to each other, mm-hmm. and just being in community together. The other kind of cool thing is on Sundays, because, you know, we are empowered, we consecrate the Eucharist mm-hmm. together. So I always think about, what's the most delicious thing I can eat? Like, mm-hmm. do I have a jelly donut or something in the house? And I'll have that mm-hmm. as my Eucharist. And then I'll give some to my dog, Gracie. And, you know, that's sweet.
That's really sweet.
That's sweet. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I also love how that, like, I think sometimes in an effort to, like, preserve traditions, we don't always let them evolve. And so that makes a lot of sense to me because, like, you know, I don't think it necessarily has to be, like, the specific bread in order for it to communicate or exist as, like, what, you know, what its meaning is. There's so much more stuff we could talk about. For our last question for this segment, though, you started the You Are Mine group, which is a group for LGBTQ+ or allies who are Catholic. And what led you to form that group, and what's that process been like?
What led me to form it, you know, I hadn't been on my personal mm-hmm. Journey to discover my sexuality, you mm-hmm. know. I was married to my partner, my husband, for 37 years, you know. Mm-hmm. But having, you know, family members who were in the community and just outraged by that point of how our LGBTQ people mm-hmm. were being treated, I wanted to make sure that, you know, start something for folks.
Yeah, for sure.
And went to the diocese and asked about it and, you know, or went to my pastor at the time and asked about it and was told no. And so I went to Pride. It was the mm-hmm. last year we were at the park at Cedar Beach mm-hmm. at Lehigh Valley Pride, and I set up a table and I had a legal pad and with a little poster mm-hmm. that said, anybody want to sign up for this? And people walked by and they were like, what? Catholic and LGBTQ, and some people signed up. I said, I don't know what we're going to do. Give me your email and we'll figure it out.
That's how those things start, though. Yeah. You know, it just starts with one person saying, like, I'm here, and there will always be others.
Right, right. And I think that was 8 years ago or seven or eight. I don't know how many years now. You know?
That's amazing. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we'll have a short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about queering our holiday traditions.
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of hand-picked music on WDIY.
Hi, folks. This is Robin, and you're listening to Queer Lehigh Valley, and I'm here with Mel Kitchen talking about queerness, spirituality, and religion for the holidays. So jumping right back into it, One question that I wanted to ask you earlier, but I kept forgetting to, is who have been some of your guides or teachers or inspirations? It doesn't have to be living people. It could be figures from history. Mm-hmm. But what are some folks who, in whatever spirituality paths you braid together, who are some people you look to?
My grandmother, mm-hmm. my nanny. She went to 6:30 Mass every morning her entire life, you know. She lived to 100. I don't know at what age she stopped, but she was well into her 90s. Mm-hmm. And my mother, her daughter. Mm-hmm. They are who I talk to. Mm-hmm. They are who I, you know, when I say my Catholicness is part of my breath, it is my ancestors, you mm-hmm. know. And as far as other figures, Sister Joan Chittister mm-hmm. is one of my faves. Went to hear Ilia Delio at DeSales a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. She's fabulous. She's just amazing. I don't want to say saints so much because, you know, they were human beings. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we know the truth about people anyway, where that is definitely not concerned, you know.
A lot of folk stories.
Yeah. So to your point about Mary Magdalene, you know, there's the erasure of women mm-hmm, in traditional religions is well known. So mm-hmm. I would say, if anything, it's just the divine feminine that mm-hmm. that is calling me most especially now. Mm-hmm. You know,
I love that. That's really beautiful. And it's really awesome that you can kind of braid together that part about ancestors too. And I definitely know that. My dad's side of my family is very like, we'll be at church all the time, every day if possible. So moving into our kind of last topic for this talk. How do you approach holidays these days?
That's an interesting question because I don't, you know, I don't have the rock solid. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I won't attend a Zoom Mass. And there's a group of us within the St. Mary Magdalene community that facilitate the Zooms. We take mm-hmm. turns. So there's that work involved with it, you know, too. So certainly there'll be Mass, but as far as that, you know, traditional thing of mm-hmm. midnight Mass and the candles and mm-hmm. all, I know it's, you know, it's tough at this time of year. So trying to develop what to embrace is a wonder. I still haven't figured it out. Mm-hmm. What I would tell folks is lean into what you love. Mm-hmm. We had a great question at Breathe the other night. Tuesday night is our monthly Breathe. And the kickoff question is, being that it's the season of light, whether it's Hanukkah or Yule or, mm-hmm. You know, candles at Christmas and so forth, what form of light speaks to you? Mm. And I would say the same thing about faith. Mm-hmm. What rituals or practices mm-hmm. do you love, whether it's the Christmas tree and having the lights mm-hmm. on, you know, having a fire burning? I think finding your way of connecting, because queer spirituality is very hard to define because it's different things for everyone.
For sure.
So finding the thing, the ritual that might bring you joy and mm-hmm. connect you to whomever or whatever you want to be connected with is important. And I stress that because I really do believe that in traveling life, mm-hmm. having the anchor of something mm-hmm. is really most important. Life is so hard. I don't know what I would do mm-hmm. without that understanding that I am being held mm-hmm. by something mm-hmm. that there's a sacredness, especially to queer folks. Mm-hmm. I can't stress this enough because there's so many folks that struggle to understand who they are and to understand their self-worth. Mm-hmm. We know that based upon how they've been dragged down by the system and society. For the queer community, it's really important to understand how sacred mm-hmm. we are everyone is, that mm-hmm. everyone has that spark of divine. Mm-hmm. We are proof of it. We are here. We are living. Mm-hmm. And to feed that. Mm-hmm. So whether that's just having a dinner, getting together with friends, it's really important. Mm-hmm. So if that's how you do it, that's how you do it. If it's lighting candles or it's singing songs, great. That's mm-hmm. how you do it. I don't know that there, it's everyone's personal way of doing it, but I do wholeheartedly believe that we need. Mm-hmm. We have that need. We're not alone, and people need to know that they are special mm-hmm. and they are sacred.
Yeah, I really appreciate all of that, especially because I do know that the holidays can be really tough for a lot of people, especially if they have experienced estrangement with their families or stuff like that, or even just like trying to find meaning in old rituals. I know for myself that like creating new rituals has been interesting, but also difficult sometimes, because a lot of times with like a big holiday like Christmas, mm-hmm. people have kind of a script that they like understand. But when you kind of try to break out of that, sometimes people are like, well, that's just made up because you made it up. And usually what I say to that is like, all rituals are made up, you know? Some have the power of being repeated more than others. This year, I'm trying to get started like a holiday for really just starting with myself and my partner. I'm around celebrating deer because I love deer. And one Christmas, I think the first, not Christmas, first solstice that me and my partner were together, we just found the skeleton of this deer in the woods, and it was so beautiful and like completely like just the bones. And we've always wanted to go back to that spot because of it. And I really view deer as kind of like bridge beings, because they move between the forest and then also areas that are more developed. So for me, I'm kind of trying to find ways to celebrate what I see as important there. And I think queerness comes into that, in that I like to assert that like nature is very queer, you know, the natural world exactly. is like a deeply, deeply non-binary place. Those are some of the ways that I'm trying to explore it, but it is definitely always going to be like an interesting place to be. We kind of already answered some of my other questions around what advice you might give to folks. What is something you're looking forward to this like end of the year season?
I'll bring up Breathe again, because the talk about the light, mm-hmm. you know, wherever you find it. And speaking of, you know, rituals or something, mm-hmm. my answer to that question the other night was the stars and the planets, mm-hmm. especially in the winter sky. Mm-hmm. But I've moved in town, mm-hmm. so actually being able to see them as well yeah. as I used to living in the suburbs, it's a different experience. But I'm thinking, what's to stop me from like just going to the park mm-hmm. and throwing a blanket down in the winter and just laying down and looking up the stars? So mm-hmm. if that's, I don't know, you know, you're talking about the deer, if that's mm-hmm. a way of having connection to mm-hmm. something, for me, is that something I can do over Christmas to mm-hmm. Acknowledge Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, I will attend Mass, but it's also, you know, just a way of connecting to mm-hmm. something larger yeah. and the understanding that we're connected to larger than who yeah. we are.
I hope that you do get to put that blanket out at the park. I think that, like, some of the most impactful rituals for me have been ones that, like, make me break out of my comfort or routine in some yeah. way. Because we can get so stuck in, like, our, you know, the daily business of being alive is generally kind of a lot. Yeah. but I think when we have those moments to break away, and I think that that's why, like, no matter, like, what religion or background you have, I think a lot of people still feel something around holidays. And it is because, I think it's because you feel like you're breaking out of that a little mm-hmm. bit. Mm-hmm. Whether you're following traditions that you were raised in or you're making new ones, there's like that really magical opportunity to like push away from the daily nonsense. I get excited even when I'm not like celebrating a holiday, because I'm like, places actually close, and that's like I wish that we did that a little bit more. And that's why I was like, I don't particularly feel super called to Christmas, but I have to do something, because mm-hmm. there's this like a magical patch of like air like in the world yes. that I really want to take advantage of.
And I think there's also, to what you're saying, Robin, it's that magical patch, but I think something happens to people
at
this time of year. They feel more generous, you know. Mm-hmm. They perhaps might be more kinder, you know, so I don't know,
tapping into that. And then there's like the ancestral connection to just like the time of year. Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot about, like, you were talking about light. And it's interesting because I really love like the darkness of this time of year too. Mm-hmm. And like trying to think about what that means, because it's something that I don't enjoy. I'm very much a summer person. And mm-hmm. so when I am in this time of year, I'm usually wrestling with like, what does it mean? What does the darkness mean? Mm-hmm. And how do we find balance with that too? And you know, there's all sorts of different ancestral or pagan or mm-hmm. Old traditions that relate to that time of year where the sun is at its least. So that's yeah. really beautiful.
And you're familiar with Bex Mui's book.
Yes.
Yeah. So House of Our Queer. Mm-hmm. Bex had spoken at Bradbury Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And I love the book. Mm-hmm. I've given it to students. And the gist of it is to find, just mm-hmm. go find. Find. If you need to throw things away, throw them away. Mm-hmm. If you want to pick and choose things that you love.
Yeah.
Why not? You know? Yeah.
For sure. I really love that message that they provided in their talk, because I think sometimes people do feel like they need permission to like go yes. ahead and create.
It's true.
And especially a lot of us like come from multiple backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Like I know that my family has a mix of different ethnicities, different races, and different cultural traditions. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you can feel like, I don't know what to do. And the truth is, though, that people have always pieced things together, as long as you're being respectful of what you're piecing together sure. and, like, being thoughtful about it. I think that that process is really fruitful and important. I know for me, like, even just doing research about, like, what are the pagan traditions that, like, the different cultures that I come from, whatever, worshipped or mm-hmm. participated in, I found a lot of, like, meaning in that.
Absolutely.
I guess the last question, since we're kind of near the end, we've already kind of touched on it, but what advice would you give to somebody who is looking to, like, reconnect with, like, a spirituality that they might have left but still feel a connection to?
Sure, sure. Especially for queer folks, I tapped into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Speaking from a Catholic mm-hmm. voice, there are groups out there. There are mm-hmm. parishes. There are churches out there. I was on the phone last week with a friend who's out in Ohio and is ready to leave their church. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of COVID was that we came to discover Zoom and to discover we could have community anywhere in the world that we want to mm-hmm. have community. So that's the first thing I'd say. If you're seeking, just Google. That's how I found St. Mary Magdalene, out of perchance. If the personal experience is something that you want in person, again, Google. You may have to travel. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find a Roman Catholic church that is going to say they are fully accepting with rainbows in the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to travel to New Jersey, you will. Mm-hmm. And there are several parishes mm-hmm. in Hoboken and mm-hmm. in South Plainfield. And, you know, they're around. But unfortunately, in this area, they are not. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there's always your mind. I'm going to give the little commercial here for You Are Mine. It's a sweet little space. And breathe as well.
Yeah, I'll say as someone who's participated in Breathe Meanings before, it's a really wonderful space, and I appreciated that opportunity to learn from people of different backgrounds, too. Yeah, it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for this. This was awesome. Thank you for all of your wisdom, and I hope that folks found some new paths to create their own traditions this year. So,
thank you, Robin. This was really special. Thank you.
This has been Queer Lehigh Valley.